welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott finish up season 6 by drinking the Michel Chapoutier Bagnols from Languedoc Roussillon. Further, they hand out the Wine of the Year Award and the Winery of the Year Award. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Michel Chapoutier in the house.
It's Michel Chapoutier.
Michel.
That's his wife, maybe, but it's Michel.
Of course it is.
Michael, it's not Michelle. Mm. On tonight's show, Scott has fucked everything to high heaven.
Oh, it's Michel Chapoutier.
We are ending season 6 on a bang. Obviously, season 7 will start next week.
Speak for yourself.
And we're drinking a dessert wine from France. Bagnols, actually, which is a classic dessert wine from France. We'll go through all the information about Bagnols eventually here for you, so you'll know exactly what it is. But think of it as port light. So it's what you want to drink when you don't want to die from port. Even though it's 16.5% alcohol, it's not 20.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
You know. It is Grenache Noir, 90% of that, which is Grenache, and then 10% of whatever.
It says others.
Yes, others. Yeah, that's
that
not
makes me nervous.
Others?
Yeah.
I can tell you what it is.
I'll bet you can.
I know. I made it myself.
What's 10% others, Wilfred?
10% me, if you get my drift.
Oh, Jesus.
I squoze it myself.
I bet you did squeeze it yourself.
And other people stomped it with their feet. That's just not a point. They kicked me, but that's okay.
Don't talk about your time in jail again.
No, that was actually on the street the other day. I had a bad interaction with, like, pedestrians.
Where the streets have no name?
They had a name. It was Main Street. And I got my ass kicked on Main Street.
You should get your ass kicked on Main
Street. I know, but they never said I'd get my ass kicked on Market Street. And I got my ass kicked there. Technically, it was a corner of Main and Market, but, you know, it was a long fight, and I got beat my ass kicked again.
Why was it a long fight?
Because there was 2 75-year-old women that wanted to kick my ass, and boy, did they.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got 15 years on them, but you'd think, you know, I got my ass kicked. I don't want to talk about it.
Except it seems that you do want to talk about
it. I thought that if I offered them $100, that'd be enough. Apparently, they don't do that. I didn't know that. One woman took her shoe off, and she beat me with it. Can you believe that? She can't even box.
Box?
Box, you know. Fight with your fists, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
Throw a punch. No, she beat me with her shoe.
Was it a shoe, or was it a Tom's? What brand shoe was it?
I don't fucking know. It wasn't a stiletto.
Tom McCann?
Because I know what a stiletto beating me with feels like, too, so... I don't want to talk about that. That was a guy named Dave. And then I was on Washington Street. So
Washington Street.
Well, yes. Yes. Different street.
You get around, Wilfred.
I know. That's only 3 blocks from one another, Scott. It's not that big of a difference. Don't be stupid. You should watch Carmen Sandiego. That's why you'd find shit.
San Diego?
Carmen Sandiego.
San Diego.
Nobody knows where in the world she is.
San Diego.
San Diego. What is that? Say it wrong?
Yes.
What is it?
Huh.
Carmen Sandiego. Isn't that right? I don't
know. That's it.
It's a kid's show. I'm not allowed to be around children, so.
That's right.
Maybe I get that wrong. I don't know. Yeah.
What do you think about this wine, Wilfred?
I don't know. I haven't drank it. Nobody reviewed it. I don't know.
Well, there is one review.
I know, but we won't talk about that
until we come back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Mikkel Charpentier Bagnols. Now, Bagnols is a fortified wine. However, it's not, let's just say it's not fortified to the extent of like Warray's Warrior. 16.5%. Grenache Noir, which is Grenache, and often it can be Grenache Blanc, as Scott has just found. And there's about six or seven other things that can be mixed in there. It is a traditional French, you know, red dessert wine. So, France does have port. Or, I'm sorry, Portugal does have port. France, they do Bagnols. So, historic, traditional. It's just not something we've drank, partly because it's not all that available. I mean, there occasionally you'll see a bottle pop up here or there. But this is a 500 milliliter from a known producer. $19.99, although normally it costs about $30. So, it's not really that cheap either. That's the other thing. I've seen Bagnols up to $50, $60. It's just, you know, it's not a commonplace thing.
Well, it's like... I know you like the Sauternes.
Oh, very much.
But would you rather have Sauternes, Bagnols, or port? Bagnols comes third in line.
Oh, yeah.
It just does.
It always would. Although we haven't tasted it yet, so I've never had. I have never had Bagnols.
I'd never heard of it, to be quite frank. But it's like... said this many times, you know, port is this wonderful thing, not one for sweetness in wines, but I love port. One of my favorite things about port is all the different tasting notes you can make, all the different elements you can pull out of it so easily. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, red wines can be tough, and they can be, there can be just such the vagaries of it. To say this is boysenberry, wherein port, you pull out 17 different things, and it's just like they're naked. They're easy to pull out. Oh, I want to see if Bagnols is similar to port, and that it displays multiple elements that are easy to describe and easy to pull out.
Scott, were you talking about a Tuesday night where you were naked and it was easy to pull out? I'm trying to put my mind, because I remember
you're trying to put your mind straight?
We're together on a Tuesday night. And
Wilfred.
You made that comment, and is that what you're talking about?
Wilfred, you're still in lockup.
No, I'm out now. I called you like four times, but you didn't answer.
You used to call me on your cell phone.
That's true. You have a landline, which is a little odd, but still, you were like saying, I'm naked, and I'm going to pull out, and then you ghosted me. You left pretty quickly. I don't know why.
You should be used to that.
Did the drugs wear off or something? I mean,
must have been.
Okay. You looked around. You were a little confused. You're like, who? What the fuck? And then that's what you said. And seemed to be happy before that, but that's okay.
Well, the rainbow fentanyl you were feeding.
Whatever it takes.
So, in the glass, it does look like port, however... it's a little bit more of a cranberry. Normally, port has a little bit more of an inky intensity in the purple.
Yeah, this is not like that.
Mm-mm. No, this has a little bit of a faded hue to it.
And this is in the Rimage style of Bagnol. There's Traditionnel, Rimage, and Orsage.
Mm. Do tell.
Well, I just did.
What does Rimage mean?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. It's one of the styles of Bagnols. It doesn't, in the glass, it doesn't compare. favorably is not the right style, maybe, but doesn't look of port. Looks like red wine in a glass.
Looks like Morgado port, which is not a compliment. Mm. Morgado is a port that is, well, is a port, air quotation port, at Trader Joe's. It kind of tastes like if somebody threw up in a bucket and they had bloody vomit. That's what this would be. They really have some medical
bloody
issues.
Bloody vomit?
They need to see a doctor. Maybe they have an ulcer. I don't know what it is.
Well.
Yeah. But, forgetting all that, on the nose. There's definitely a pruny raisin involved there. But, same time, a slight bit of sun-dried tomato. Maybe a little bit of rhubarb and red rope licorice. Very odd nose. But, I mean, it's to be expected, but...
Red rope licorice.
Yeah. It has a pungency to it. Let's just say that. It does not smell like port. Well... I mean, it doesn't smell like normal port. It could be some sort of perverted tawny that you haven't smelled before, and you're like, what the fuck? But, no. It's a little different.
I give you that licorice, all that other stuff I'm not getting. This nose is subdued, and I didn't get all the stuff that you
got. It's okay that you can't get all those things. Don't you feel bad about it? I don't remember what I said aside from red rope. What did I say?
You were rambling there for a second, yeah. Describing this nose that I get nothing out of.
I'm a little bit of strawberry jam, too.
With that rope licorice, you know, note to self, rope licorice is strawberry flavor.
Oh, raisin and prune, yeah. And rhubarb. No, I remember. Because it's melted again.
Rhubarb?
A little bit. The stockiness.
Stockiness? You're a freaking stalker maniac.
You can't smell it. It's not my problem.
Let's just drink this shit. What Banyuls doesn't have, it's towards that mouthfeel of port, but it's not as dense. It's not as thick. It's not as...
Wow.
Syrupy is not the right word, but there it is. I said it.
One thing it has is an absolute fan in me. Jesus, that is nice. Partly because it doesn't...
You put what in you?
Anything. Just tell me. I like the fact it doesn't have the headiness and the weightiness. It has... density, right? But it doesn't borderline into syrupy at all. It slightly has a little bit of a nicer structure to it in the mouthfeel.
You know you're not drinking port.
No, but you're drinking something that tastes very, very nice.
And it's different. This is not even, there's not a semblance of port about this.
Well, no. I mean, there's some red fruits and things of that nature, but the thing is, it isn't black fruits. It's slightly sweeter, savory fruits, which is weird, but it works.
You don't get that caramel. You don't get that.
Well, you're talking about tawny.
You don't get the the spice. There's no element of spice here.
Scott, you slow down. And no, there is caramel. It almost tastes like you've got, once again, ripe red fruits, not raspberry, though. Rhubarb, cherry, things of that nature that don't go coin, but are sweet. And then you do, on the mid palate, it washes through and you have a little bit of almost like a caramel apple, but it's not mealy. It's very nice. And then it finishes with a little bit of, almost like a pinotage, and just like maybe a little bit of smokiness. It's very subdued, but it has a very nice balance to everything else.
What I like, and what I'm going to point out that's different from port, this has a subtle acidity to it.
It does.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
The finish is really different. It finishes more like a regular red wine, really. More like a regular red wine than port does.
It's never cloying, though. It's sweet, but it's never so sweet that you go, my God, that's sweet. It's so unique in that fashion that it can just kind of walk the tightrope. And this isn't necessarily an elite Banyuls. I'm not offended. It has a 90 from Robert Parker. I can read that real quick for you.
It's not a big score.
No, but they said it is made, like always, in a young, easy-drinking style. It is. It offers up a sense of milk chocolate. And cherries on the nose. There's red fruit right there. It's relatively light-bodied in the mouth. I don't know about that. It's medium-bodied with silky tannin and a hint of almond skin and finishes fruity, clean, and refreshing. I don't know about that.
I like the almond descriptor.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, because it pairs what we actually have a few truffles or whatever these things are. The Ferrero Rocher hazelnut. And it actually tastes delicious with those, which is surprising. But this wine, what I would say is a nice alternative to port.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a replacement for port. It's an alternative. You don't want something quite as pungent, quite as big, quite as... Because say a port's a sledgehammer. This is a nice ball peen hammer. It'll knock somebody out, but it can do so many more subtle things. You know? Yeah, dry sherry is like a toilet plunger. But this is a nice drink. It's a nice drink. It's not port. It's port-esque-ish in the way. But you're not going to mistake it for a port.
No, I wouldn't even compare it to port, to be honest with you. It
I would. It's fortified and it's red.
I get it. It's a fortified wine. It's a dessert wine. But I would not compare this to port.
Why not?
Doing a disservice to port, and this is a different style.
First of all, it's not doing a disservice to port. It's a it's a compliment to port.
I think the French wouldn't appreciate you comparing this to port, sir. It's different.
It's nicely sweet on the front palate, and then it goes into a tannic wine.
Okay, there it is right there. There's the two different differences.
But ports can be tannic. Tannin is a proper thing in port. You can still be sweet and tannic. Big ports. Why do you think things age 30 or 40 years? It's because of that. This isn't going to age 30 or 40 years, but that's the idea. This wine is a really interesting, fun, tasty thing.
Mm-hmm.
If Becky was ever going to like a fortified red, she'd more likely like this than she would. Yeah.
I agree. And for me, it's that it just has more, air quotes, regular red wine characteristics, particularly in the finish, particularly the back half of this wine.
Yeah, it's still sweet, though, all the way throughout. But, I mean,
Would you...
No, Scott, I
think...
It has
a more traditional
finish.
You
don't get lost in certain things because, the intensity of a front palate of a port tends to knock you off your feet a little bit. And you don't have the balance necessarily to analyze what's on the back half. That's kind of where I would come from with that. Especially a big, big, heavy vintage character or LBV. Those things are so big and ostentatious up front. You're kind of blinded to the back half, just naturally. I mean, anything that is so big and boisterous, if somebody comes in dressed like a circus clown, setting off fireworks, you might not notice them, slip a $5 bill off the table and steal it because they're so big and boisterous. But it does little subtle things that I'm sure port does, but you don't notice it in port because of their boisterousness. Okay. But I like the balance in this wine. I do. It does have a sweet front palate. It has sweetness throughout. It's not overpowering. It's not cloying in any fashion. It doesn't detract from the overall wine. This isn't necessarily a wildly complex wine, but it has enough complexity to make it something that's interesting. So, it's good.
Interesting-ish. I like it. The two things I like about this particular dessert wine are that kiss of acidity and my characterization that it finishes, again, in air quotes, it's a traditional red wine. And I like that in this dessert wine where, you know, you're not... Port finishes in port can be great. They can be long, but it's just different. It's a different finish. It's not the same as a finish on a Merlot or a Cab or a Bordeaux blend or a Rhone blend or a Rimage style. Banyuls has a more traditional red wine finish. I'm surprised by that. I don't know what I expected out of this. I thought I'd have, I guess, we're kind of different ends of this thing. I don't like comparing this to port. It's a natural comparison, but they're starkly different.
They're not at all.
And again, that's where we differ on this.
No. I mean, they're made with the similar principles behind them. They're not using the same grapes.
Yes. They're both fortified red wines. Get it? Bingo, no, I mean, bango.
Grenache is not, you know, Torrigal Nacional, whatever it is, Tradicional Nacional. I mean, it's not the big...
Torriga Nacional.
Yeah, Torriga Nacional. It's not the big, big, huge Portuguese reds that they're using. So you got to start off with the fact that if you're going to use a different varietal, it's going to be a little bit different in that fashion. So that's fine. And so this Banyuls is this way. And I'm assuming all Banyuls would be a similar variation, a riff off this. But if you're going to start off with a massive, massive wall of a wine as your grape stock, naturally that's going to be a bigger wine because the base stock. But this is a Languedoc Grenache. And so with Michel Chapoutier, I wonder if they're using the same stuff as like Bilault or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the prime Grenache stock or not.
Probably. It's probably Bilault, a version of Bilault, what they're doing down there with that stuff. Because that's predominantly Grenache. Their stuff, their Côte d'Aronne are predominantly, the Belarus is whatnot, is predominantly Syrah. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a version of that, which we like. And they're probably doing all sorts of stuff with that because they do a rosé, they do all sorts of stuff. And then I'm assuming that's probably a similar thing. Yeah, you want more of those. This is good.
Well, it's, I think one of the descriptors was young in style.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Easy to drink.
It is very easy to drink.
I think people would like this.
I think so.
For me, price point wise, I gotta go with port over this, though.
Well, okay, the price. All right. It's a 500 milliliter for $19.99. That's on post off.
And that's a good price for this.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this is pricey. And that's fair. That's a fair argument. I'm not going to argue. I mean, I might argue with the fact that it doesn't taste like pork because I think it does. But.
And that's not the only consideration, the price, that this is, in general, more expensive than port.
I think that, yeah, it is more expensive than port.
In
partly because you
general great, yeah. There can be some really expensive ports too.
There, oh fuck yes, there can be. But with that though, port is a more widely produced, you know, wine style, wildly bigger, wildly more produced, and so you can pay virtually anything at any. Nobody makes a cheap Banyul. I mean,
this is a cheap Banyul probably.
I would say it's a more reasonably priced Banyul, yes. But it's Michel Chapoutier, so you know it's going to be quality because he only makes quality.
I'm not saying it's cheap as in not good. I'm just saying in terms of price point, this is probably a lower end price point.
Yeah, probably. I'd say it's mostly 40 to 50. But that's a 750, though. I don't think they make this in, you know, so yeah, that it's, it probably is by a few bucks. Not a lot of people buy Banyuls or drink them. Not to say you shouldn't. But there's also some other stuff people mistake it for. I mean, it has a, what is it, Bandol, that's Cab Franc. And there's a few other things that are out there that have a similar name that people get confused with as to what that is and what this is. So
the six styles of Banyuls, Traditional, Blanc, Ombre, Rosé, Rimage, Grand Cru.
I assume the Grand Cru is expensive. But find it.
made from destemmed grapes and have matured for at least 30 months in an oak barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Ramage, special vintage red wine. It goes through a 5-week-long maceration process. Wines are aged for 4 to 20 months. So the Grand Cru is the top of the line. Looks like this is second. No, wait. Traditional. Aged for at least 30 months. So, this is actually the... Looks like it's the entry price. The Blanc is made with Grenache Gris and Grenache Blanc. Ombre. Amber-colored white blend with preserved fruit flavors. That sounds gross. A young rosé wine. Rosé is a young rosé wine made from Grenache Gris grapes of various colors.
No, thank you.
Yeah, so I think you've got three... traditional bagnoles that are made from Grenache Noir, or Grenache as we call it, and Ramage is the lowest end of it.
Well, yeah, but let's figure this out for a second. How many bagnoles do you see on the shelf?
Four.
No, you never see it. And so, in reality, no, I think Traditionnel is the lowest, unfortunately. And then
it's aged 30 months. I don't think so.
That's not really. Then Ramage is mid-level.
I don't know, sir.
I just read it on Wine Folly, so. No, you didn't. Mentioned that second. Yes, I did. Food pairing. There are Rouge styles of bagnoles, including those labeled Traditionnel, Ramage, and Ors Age. Normally, you're going to mention the second one.
That's got to be Grand Cru. Ors Age is Grand Cru, I got to believe.
Yeah, so I think that Ramage is the second. And Ramage, actually, I believe, means a better stock of grape. That's what Ramage means. So
That must be related to the 5-week-long maceration process. So.
Well, you also got to think that Chapoutier only makes probably this. They're not making different levels of Ramage, you know? So...
Well,
or different levels of bagnole.
Vinovest, I'm reading the 10 best bagnoles wine bottles to buy in 2022. You know what number one is on their list?
Mm.
The 2002 M. Chapoutier Michel Bagnoles.
Well, you can sell this 10 plus years. I don't know that I would do that this. You know what I mean? In theory, this is the current vintage. This is the 2017. But, and it's not made every year, mind you. Things like this are expensive to make. They're one offs.
The Chapoutier that they're talking about is $250 for a bottle, so it's a different one. It's got to be the Grand Cru.
I don't know what they did. Well, Scott, though, maybe 2002 was a grand vintage, and that's why it cost that much. Perhaps in America, you would say they did a library selection of it. You know what I mean? And so it doesn't really matter whether it's
expensive,
whether it's Ramage or whatever, it's something they held back to age, and that's what it is. You can't buy it.
They are aging this stuff. 1989 Domaine Dumas Blanc Bagnoles Ramage. $79.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this one is one of those.
No.
But the previous vintage is 2012, according to this. But yeah, it's all over the place, really. Let's see, what does this say? Well, yeah, I'm looking at the 1995 Michel Chapoutier Bagnoles, and it got the collector's designation on wine.com. The current vintage does not do that. 2012 does not do that. 2009 does not do that. So, there are versions, and is this wine? It's just certain vintages were probably better than others and did better than that. I don't think this was one of those things. I mean, this isn't going to go 15 years. I wouldn't do that. It will taste like Morgado after 5, so don't do that. But that's okay. I mean, I'm sure there are many things. Just like any grape style that you get, there are 50 of them that are elite, that are rando, weirdo things that are very, very, very expensive, man. I mean, tequila. You can get $1,000 bottles of tequila. Why? I don't fucking know, but you can. Because there's some jackass that'll pay for it. You know, this is the thing. In certain parts of the world, there are people that just have more money than brains. And they'll overpay for something.
Huh.
You know? And that's what you get.
Bourbon?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, fermentation. Producers of bagnoles halt the fermentation process when the wine's alcohol level is at approximately 6%. That's when they add the pure alcohol, the grape spirit, to the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue the fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's different than port.
Yeah, port doesn't care as much.
Port, I don't think they stop the fermentation. I think the high content alcohol is added at the end of fermentation.
Yes. That way, you know, that's why you get 16 and a half here as opposed to 20.
And then, correct. And then maybe also, you know, the maceration process, the juice gets macerated in oak barrels. So mm-hmm. there's an introduction of oak even before the fermentation.
Well, it's also an introduction of slight bit of oxidation because, you know, anytime you touch oak.
And maybe that leads to that little bit of acidity. I don't know. Just the style way it's produced.
Well, tawny port that's oxidized, they put it on oak. Gets a little air in there, gets oxidized. Why doesn't vintage port have that? Because it's not on, you know, if you're in a concrete vat, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get oxidation. That's the difference there. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, we are going to announce the wine of the year and the winery of the year. Now, looking back at season 6 of all the wines that we've had, and one thing I will say, a lack of really wines that stood out.
I don't know about that.
We've had some good wines. I mean, nothing's been like stood out like 79s.
We've had a lot of good wines.
We have wussed out. We have wussed out this last season and really not drank a lot of bad wines. I apologize for that. Not a lot of, you know, drops of Jupiter.
You know, I try to bring in bad wines and you know, Becky mocks me.
I know. We haven't done a good job of that. We're going to have some bad wines in season 7 to punish ourselves. But, you know, from a standpoint of wines that really made you want to go out and buy it. Not a lot of that. There's some. I mean, the Killikanoon, which we did a few weeks ago, we liked that. I bought some of that. But that's not as good as Arme. We did the Arme, you know, in the first part of this episode. The Arme was delicious. The Cristo by Marietta. See a pattern evolving here? For me,
I've got a half dozen of those bottles at the house.
I think the Cristo, Marietta Cellars Cristo, is the Wine Vault wine of the year.
We got to go through these because I've got
okay. You go ahead. You name them off. I gave you some options,
and I think in the past we've done this maybe, or we should consider it this year. I think by far the best bottle of wine we drank this year was the K Cellars Grenache The Boy.
Oh, The Boy, you're right. Oh, I forgot about that.
But is that fair to compare that to?
Doesn't matter.
Gunlock Bunchu.
Gunlock Bunchu is not.
Is that fair to compare it to Edge? Is that fair to compare it to Marietta Cellars Cristo?
Cristo is the only one that is on that level.
It's not on that level. Nothing.
If it was going to be on that level. You're right, though. The K Cellar, or the K Vintners, The Boy Grenache was. And the Chateau Framboise, Saint-Emilion, is very good. But yeah, Scott, I will agree with the K Vintners, The Boy Grenache.
I'll tell you, man.
I forgot about it.
Yeah. But these other wines need discussion as Wine Vault budget or entry priced wines of the year. Edge. I've drank a lot of that.
Yeah, it's good. You guys didn't like it as much as I did.
It's really good. No, but bottle in, bottle out, and you can get 17 and 18. Those two vintages, really, really good. I've drank a lot of that Chateau Bordeaux this year.
Well, Chateau Bordeaux is a very good value at $14.99.
I've drank a lot.
It's a really good buy.
I bought a case of that in one of my purchases.
It's a really good buy.
Over the course of since we've had that on the show, I've probably had 2.5 cases of it.
Now, not that in degrees. We're talking about the Côtes de Blayais, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
The budget priced one.
Mm-hmm.
I love Edge. People need to know about Edge. Well, Edge is good. Really, really, really good.
Edge is good.
Ray
Signorello.
Signorello.
He's actually a very talented winemaker.
Yeah, so, you know, upper echelon wines or more expensive wines, Kay Siller's the boy, it has to be the wine of the year, the bottle of the year. Now, on the entry priced or more reasonably priced, that'd be tough for me to pick between those we've talked about there.
I would do the Cristo. It's around $20.
But I'll tell you, man.
No.
The other one that I've drank a lot of on the entry price stuff is the Gunlock Bunchu.
Oh, I like Gunlock, but it's not on the, it's not even the same stratosphere. It's a very nice drinking wine, great drinking wine, but on a technical scale, it is not even the same. You do a disservice to wine by putting it in the same sentence. And I love Gunlock Bunchu. I turn you guys on to it. But for the Cristo, no. You can't even talk about them at the same time on the same day in the same week. One is really a classic under 50 wine. The other one is a really, really, really solid, good tasting.
Under 20 wine.
Well, it's $19.99. I don't know if that's...
So is Edge. Same price point.
Edge is $20.99.
Yeah, you can get it cheaper than
and
that.
And 22.
Yeah.
You didn't get it cheaper than that.
Yeah, I did. No, yes, I did, sir.
But the boy is the wine of the year, but value is Marietta Cristo. It is.
That's not value. It was $25.
It's $25. Actually, no, that vintage, I bought it for $23. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's that doesn't kind of that well, doesn't get as value. I just value did it. Then the value wine is Chateau Bordeaux. Period. End of discussion. $12.99.
Under 15, we'll just say that's value.
Yeah.
Fair. Okay,
I'll do that's
it.
That's the value.
The Chateau Bordeaux. No, the Chateau Bordeaux. I cannot argue about that because that's a really, really great wine.
It's
predominantly Merlot.
For our listeners. You want to expose yourself to French wine? That's the one.
Yeah, that's a good quality wine.
It's freaking awesome.
And sometimes you get some of these cheaper Bordeaux, and you need to let them breathe for 2 days because they just throw off all sorts of barnyardy, rubbery aromas that just don't make them particularly. The Chateau Oit is one that I would say you can get it like at $7 at Costco. You can drink it after day two because it needs to blow off. A little bit of sulfur.
You need to blow off a little bit of sulfur.
Well, I'm just saying, the Bordeaux is not like that. It is class right off the bat. So, I will agree with those two things. Now, winery of the year.
Well, we have to eliminate one of the ones you sent forward. If we can't pronounce it properly, it can't be under consideration for the winery.
It won it last year anyway. I believe it won it last year, so we won't even talk about that one.
Yeah, well, yeah, you just don't want to.
That's a good one, though.
You just don't want to include your fallacies.
Enemigo?
Enemigio!
Is it, whatever it is.
It's El Enemigo.
Yeah, the El Enemigo is a very, very good wine line. Very, very good wine. But I'd put forth, Marietta Cellars, because I think that really, across the board, is...
I think they have to be the winner, but Gunlock Bunchu was in there, and they have to be second place.
Their Chardonnay sucked, though.
They have to be... It didn't suck. They have to be second place. But mainly because we're not drinking a lot of multiple bottles from the same winery anymore.
We're not...
Those are probably the two that we had multiple bottles from this year.
Well, down on the show, though, I did the Sonoma County Cabernet off the show, and it was good. Although the Arme is better. So, and we like We like the Mountain Cuvée a ton as a drinker.
I think we're underselling it for one of the year. It needed more discussion.
It's not that good.
We gave it 90s. It doesn't matter.
It's a nice wine.
Doesn't matter.
It's not that good.
Doesn't matter. We're talking about the show. We're talking about what we drank. How many bottles of that did you buy and drink? A few. Oh, bullshit.
Four.
Bullshit.
Four.
Bullshit.
Four. I have two bottles left.
Lies are lies.
I bought a bottle of bottles. I bought like 7 bottles or 8 bottles of Symmetry. What are you trying to say? Should Symmetry be the wine of the year? Because it's very nice.
Hmm?
It's a very good wine. It's not as good as Armagh. Well, I don't know, though. I mean, we like Symmetry a lot.
Symmetry was good.
Yeah, it was a really good wine. We drank a lot of good wines. A lot of good wines.
You know, you talked that we didn't have a lot of good wines. Well,
we did.
Yeah, we did. I mean,
we just didn't have a lot of bad wines.
The Chateau Vermbrugge, I think, also deserves really some more discussion, too.
That's a nice wine.
Really good. You put it on the top shelf. I thought that was a little easy.
It was right next to the boy, too.
Yeah.
They're right next to each other.
I don't know that it deserved to be there, but that's okay. Stupid. It was fucking good.
You're just a contrarian.
Folks. One guy called me the contrarian.
Mm-hmm. Hail to the chief. That's what that is. You're hail to the chief. Yes, you should. Yeah, bow to me.
That's for me.
So, Marietta Cellars is the winery of the year. Wine of the year.
Marietta?
Marietta.
Okay.
That's what it's called, Scott.
Yeah, that's why I said Marietta.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's what I said. I said Marietta Cellars.
Hello.
Oh, God. And then the cave vintners, the boy, which is really good wine. It's just, that's a shocker for, well, now it's 54, so they must have heard from us that what did he say, somewhere in the...
No, I think at one point it was $49.99.
Yeah, I bought that. Didn't we say something like, though, it should cost $150 a bottle?
It makes a $50 bottle of wine seem reasonable.
It seems cheap.
That's how good it is.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
But, you know, is it for everybody? It should be. It should be. Not everybody enjoys Grenache.
No, they don't. Actually,
that's okay.
The Cristo is also predominantly Grenache, too. So it's a Grenache year. No Zins.
Yeah.
Because the Bordeaux is predominantly Merlot.
Yeah. Well, you
see, the triple
could
B,
have the Hain in there.
The Triple B said, I don't remember any of these wines, which is true. Although you'd think that she would remember the Cristo. Because she had that. She didn't have the boy.
We did have Hain this year. That was this year, wasn't it?
I don't remember. It was so lackluster.
You're so lackluster.
At least I bought you glasses that you could actually drink the Hain in and enjoy it, as opposed to what I did on this show. Wasn't that so beautiful? Those are Zin glasses, Dick. That's what you drink it out of. It's a Zin. Just the same thing you drink Bogle Old Vines Zin out of. I did not. That was a great, great feeling when normally, folks, for big Zins, and that are blent, so, you know, 78% Zins, I throw those in the New World Syrah glasses, the Riedel Extreme glasses. That does really, really well for big Zins. Really well. It gives a little more space, and it has the same taper.
I like them sometimes in the Bordeaux Grand Cru glasses.
Yeah, I know. And so for Hain Vineyard from Turley, I threw them in the standard Venom Zin glasses, which you could also put Chianti and Riesling in. And Scott was not happy about that. He felt that I sabotaged it. It was very nice in that. It was very good.
You did sabotage it.
I gave, 88 of my points?
But then you're showing off your new knife. You cut yourself trying to put it back in the sheath.
It's a sword.
It's a sword.
It is a sword.
It sure it is.
Yeah. Hurt. And when you only have one fucking Band-Aid in the whole goddamn house, but there's wrappers everywhere. Fucking A. And the one Band-Aid you have is a fucking frozen Band-Aid.
We're having a conversation about this, Blair. I'm like, you have to put that up so the boys don't hurt themselves.
And I was putting it up, and I just barely grazed it. And it's not like it's a deep cut. It's just like a paper cut.
I thought we were going to the hospital.
Well,
I was packing my stuff up and taking him to get
stitches. You did have a pause. But yeah, because, you know, you
well,
get
I didn't see it. I never saw the cut.
You get a nasty, and you can feel like the, it's a sharp blade, but it's not like throw it up, throw silk up in the air, and we'll cut it in half kind of thing, you know?
Well, you surprise yourself because you lost concentration.
Didn't even know my finger was near the damn blade, but still. Yeah. And but it felt like a really, really bad paper cut. You know how paper cuts kind of slice.
Oh, you didn't know how bad you cut yourself till you went upstairs and looked at it.
It was a lot more blood than a paper cut. Normally, paper cuts don't have that much blood.
Well, sometimes bad cuts don't really bleed that much.
Yeah, this bled a little bit. It was bleeding. Yeah, there was blood everywhere. It's a mortal wound. I'm fine, though. The Elsa and whatever her name is. Anna?
Anna.
Anna, I'm sorry.
That's the role that Paige Jr. played.
That's true. It's held it in. Scott, what is your memorable event from season 6?
Event?
Time. Something that we did. Talked about. Was it me? Was it when I was a physician's assistant?
Time in a bottle.
I asked Scott because he doesn't remember jack shit.
First time that I tried to do.
You smother me in honey and then go. Oh, no.
We did have some fun episodes doing compare and contrast on some different bottles. We had some fun times doing that. But it usually would irritate Becky and I. And then there were a couple times where you played tricks on us. What was that awful thing that you made us do? Hide the bottle, and guess what it was? It was Hungarian.
Well, I don't think that was last season. That was season 5.
I don't think so. It was. I think that was this year.
I think it was season 5. If you look it up, you don't know these things.
But you did a couple of those on us.
I've done some secret wines. What the hell was the last secret wine I did? I can't remember what that was. It was this fall, though, I do believe.
I think last winter you did that stupid Hungarian thing, whatever it was.
No, it was Croatian, I think, but it was before that.
Mm.
Yeah, it was like last fall. It was cold. It might have been like last November. But yeah, I can't remember what the secret wines I did this year was. Shit.
You have a lot of fun with those. We hate it.
It's fun.
No, it's not.
Oh, it was a blend. I know. I remember that. I don't know. We'll have to look that up. I can't remember what it was. I'll listen to that.
Those episodes are fun. I mean, I have a good time. You know, my favorite times are when, you know, I have to set you straight because you're just so wrong all the time.
You've never been able to set me straight, Scott.
Yeah, you and straightway, bye-bye.
Remember when
a long time ago,
we prayed together?
Prayed together?
No, that's not what that was.
We watched the Fox News video of, what is that called?
Yeah, our God, I don't know. Yeah. Now, as a preview to season 7, we have several wines coming up. We have White Port. It's been in the queue for a while. So we're going to do White Port. Scott and I, neither one of us have ever drank White Port. We have the Lot 73 from Marietta Cellars. We have some, I have a Central Valley Cabernet coming soon that will be interesting for us. We have a lot of different odds and ends, too, to go through. We have some Zins from William Pedroncelli. We have, we just did the Vol Raven. Everybody knows that. And,
everybody knows that.
They too, well, that was asked physician's assistant Wilford, but.
You know, we'll continue our quest to find, is there a California designate cab worth a shit? Probably not, but we'll do it anyway. Rob's promise to get back to bad wines is included in that.
Oh, God, yes. Well,
we've had some bad ones.
Oh, we're going to have.
There has to be a good California designate cab Sauvignon, doesn't there?
No.
Doesn't there have to? There has to be one.
No. You know, one thing we are going to have? We're going to have International Wine Challenge coming soon. I have to curate that. But we are going to have an International Wine Challenge. The Triple B has asked for another International Wine Challenge. And
I don't even know what that is.
That's when we have different wines from different part of the world. And we, you know, assign a winner. We've done that with many different wines. Last one was the International Merlot Challenge. It wasn't very popular within the show because we had Oyster Bay Merlot as the New Zealand challenger. It's quite bad. We had some bad
ones. Those are some fun episodes.
Yes, they are.
We've done a couple of those.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get back to that, too. So, hopefully, you've enjoyed the last six seasons. How many episodes are we?
I don't know.
340?
Nine.
10. This is about 340, I think.
We've done a couple.
Thinking back, Scott, what's your fondest memory of all 340 episodes?
Well, it's just kind of a journey, right? It's like enjoying wine, sharing, discovering different things in wines. It's really about those special wines, right? You know, last episode I mentioned, you know, having that discovery moment with the Clarendon Hills. You know, having that special, that transcendent wine experience. But we've had a lot of great, surprising wines where you're having a bottle of wine, you think, it's going to be meh or whatever, and then it's really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Did either of us expect Chateau Bordeaux to be a wine that we'd buy cases of?
Well, not Chateau Bordeaux first appeared on the show on the episode. That's a really good wine episode of where we had the battle between Poney Canet and the Bordeaux N degree or N1. And after that episode, we both liked that episode, that wine. But once we drank the Poney Canet, all thoughts went away.
Well,
can you ever imagine that the Poney Canet was in a twofer episode?
Well, that's some stupid producer of the show. I don't know why he would ever do
that. I mean, that was of all the seasons, and we've had some great wines, but really great wines. But that was my most memorable wine. Another one was the Semillon episode where we did the Le Ecole 41 Semillon, and then we did the Sauternes.
Well, but it's just those moments where you're having a bottle of wine, you go, "Fuck, this is really good." And you just don't, and it hits you out of nowhere, right? You know, and we've had so many of those moments. But, you know, the high-dollar wines where, you know, we've put some money into it or you've put some time into it, aging it, those are always great, too. And we getting to share those with people, you know, so many great bottles of wine we've had. Mm-hmm. A lot of bad ones, too.
And yes, I know that we've been asking. Yes, in season 7, we will have a return of Wine Vault Trivia. So, we will have an episode of
that. Nobody's asked that but you.
That's a lot.
And it's really not asking.
It's a lot of fucking work. Well, it's a lot of goddamn work. I don't remember when we used to do that. We did that quite a few times. It's been a couple of years now. That's a lot of fun. We even have buzzers. We'll have to do it. It's great. We have to have Steve on, though, for that one, though.
He's not going to be back on.
Oh, he will. If we tell him to
he
do
puts
it.
Pictures of himself on socks.
He does do that.
Gives them to people as gifts.
And they're right there on my table, too.
I think you're going to wear them.
Steve might be a narcissist.
Becky loved those socks. She thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
You're going to wear them?
I'll wear them. Why wouldn't he have a good picture of himself, though?
Supposedly, my daughter helped him pick out that picture.
Why?
To mock him?
Should be a nude picture of him. That would be great.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
All those scars from all those surgeries.
That's true. Scarface. You know, just put a banana where his, you know, dick is.
A banana.
Allegedly. No, small banana.
A banana.
Hey, man. You got to give him something. It'd be different if you put a cashew there. And still blocked it out.
Vienna sausage.
That's too big, man.
To give him some credit.
I know. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Michel Chapoutier Bagnols Ramage from Languedoc-Roussillon in France. A dessert wine, French style. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine?
87.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Yeah. I enjoy it. I think it's tough. What would I recommend this to our listeners or not?
Well,
in a way, yes.
They should try it. I mean, if you drink wine regularly and you like port, you always should try different things that are other versions from other countries, just to kind of appreciate what you already are drinking. And I think that's where this is. I like this wine. It's lovely. But
for me, I was like, maybe this is like your introduction to port. Just if you haven't had dessert wines before, try this.
But yeah, but you can buy cheap port for that. I mean,
and not only that, you can buy cheap Sauternes for that.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
sometimes. Yeah. 15, half bottles anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, this wine, I like it a lot. And $20, yeah, you might snag a bottle here or there. One a year, maybe. That's how often you're going to drink something like this. You're going to mix it in. But I think the look on Scott's face is like, yeah, I like this, but why wouldn't I just drink port? It's a valid question.
It is a good question.
Like, why wouldn't I just have drank port? The bottle wouldn't be empty right now, and I'd be passed out into the chair. But
would I rather have this or Coburn's for $14?
Coburn's.
For $14.
Coburn's, yeah.
This
or
War's Warrior?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Easy.
Or
anything.
No, not anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Newport's Ruby.
Anything that I would regularly buy.
Anything made by Newport? No, I'd rather have this over Newport. Okay. We don't like Newport. It's more of a stylistic thing, but we don't like it. Yeah. Morgado, no, this.
Well.
But, you know, all the Aussie stuff. Yeah, I'd rather have the Aussie stuff. You know.
Even the
Whiskers Blake, Penfolds Club.
Even the California pseudo-port ports.
I don't know about that.
I think I'd rather have those.
Nah. You'd rather have Bogle Petit Sirah? No, you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go back and listen to that episode, whether or not we liked it or not, but I mean...
We liked it.
Yeah, but it wasn't. This is better than that.
What's your score, sir?
88 of my points.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just being contrarian.
No, Scott. I mean, it is what it is. It's not a 90, for Christ's sake, but, I mean, it's solid.
Nor is it an 88, sir.
Oh, my gosh. You gave him an 87.
I'm giving it an 86.
Oh, fuck you. You already gave him an 87.
No,
so,
no,
yeah,
no,
you
no,
can't
no.
change.
No, no, I can't.
Look at that. 87.
I
80,
can change 80. It.
You just gave it an 80. You want to try to change your score because of what I gave it.
I'm just trying to piss you off.
Nah, I don't care.
You're being contrarian.
You know what I like
it's
about...
It's not an 88.
How am I being a contrarian and giving it a higher score?
Well, let me count the ways.
I like it. First of all, I like it more than you. I have far more appreciation for things that are different and more subtle. You don't. You want you're just a meat and potatoes asshole.
Yeah, that's you know? My thing.
You know?
What I liked about this wine.
It's a solid Bagnols. It's solid. Very solid.
Characteristics that were more like a traditional red wine. This kiss of acidity. And the finish was really more of a finish of a red wine than of a dessert wine. It's kind of nice. And it's easy to drink.
Yeah.
You know, 87 is a fair score. But it's not... I'm never going to have a good glass of port and go, man, I wish this was a Bagnols.
Okay, no. You're never going to say that. No.
Ever.
You'd be like, you know, I could have had a Mercedes, but I bought a Saab. This is the Saab.
You're a fucking Saab.
That's kind of like, you know, I was looking at Audis, cross-shopping them with Mercedes, but then I bought a Volvo.
I'd rather have the worst grappa
and you're like,
in the history of grappas.
No. But then you look at the person, you go, what? How did this get to a fucking Volvo? How did this get to a Saab? Well... You don't understand. I was looking at the Audis and I was cross-shopping them with the Mercedes, but then I bought the Volvo. No.
I bought the 84 Corvette.
There's nothing wrong with the Volvo, but it's just not the Audi or the Mercedes. Notice I didn't say BMW because No. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, but why? Well, huh? I don't understand. So that's the thing. So if this was $12.99 for a 500 milliliter, I think you would really probably be a little more excited about it. But $19.99 on a big post off for a 500 milliliter. I mean, it was $29.99, I think. It was $30 for this. That's a lot of money. That
the upper end Banyuls are fucking fantastic.
Well, I'm sure they are.
I'd still rather get port. I'd rather get a port.
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
I'd rather get a port.
And this is regularly $30 for a 500 milliliter. And you're like,
if you were going to spend $75 on a dessert wine.
Yes.
Are you going Banyuls or port?
Maybe I'll get Dolce. No, I won't do that. I'm going to buy Dolce. Wine.com just got Dolce back in stock, folks. If you were wondering, do they have Dolce? Yes. Right now, just for a short time. Dolce.
I drink that good dessert wine. What's it called? Fireballs.
Fireballs. Dolce. I don't think much of Dolce. I've had Dolce on a few occasions. To say more than once.
You know what I didn't bring up?
It's not as good as
sometimes. You know what I didn't bring up with the Superstar and I needed to?
What?
The 1910. We're supposed to have a bottle of 1910 sent our way.
Yeah. Did you ever think that would come?
Yeah.
Well, it makes you a dumbass. So.
No, I think it's coming.
Yeah, sure. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and nobody else, we're going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.